The reading. As the performance is about to start, a filmmaker sets up his camera on a tripod facing the far end. The tripod is positioned in front of the statue of John Rylance. The filmmaker is a young white man, his black woolen hat pulled down over his wavy black hair. He wears black framed spectacles, has a short beard and is tall and slim. He's dressed in black, a jacket over a t-shirt, skinny jeans which finish above the ankle, and black Doc Marten boots. A music stand with the script on in its various sections is placed at the opposite end by the display cases. The text printed on cream A4 paper. One of the carved wooden chairs also sits opposite the tripod. Maxine Peake approaches from the John Rylance statue end of the aisle and proceeds to walk down to the music stand, collect a portion of the script, and to sit on the chair as she reads. Lights dim with focused lighting on Maxine. Maxine is in her late 40s, medium height and slim build. Her dark blonde hair is worn in a tousled, wavy, jaw-length bob, brushed back from her high forehead and tucked behind her ears. She has dark blue-grey eyes and a fine eyebrows and high cheekbones in a pale complexioned face with minimal makeup. She wears a plain jacket and trousers in a royal blue. They are workaday items in thick cotton, the jacket hip length with no fastenings over a loose-fitting white cotton t-shirt. This is tucked into her high-waisted trousers, which have a wide fabric belt. She wears grey socks and no shoes. The reading is in several sections, indicated by slight pauses, changes in the lighting, and sometimes by sound. Some use is made of recorded sound and music. As the action progresses, Maxine will stand. As she finishes with each page of text, she will discard it until the central parquet floor is littered with the cream sheets. Partway through the performance, she will stop reading and speak the words directly, inhabiting the character, her body language and facial expressions becoming animated, her large eyes anxious or fearful, or a fixed smile on her face. The filmmaker approaches her almost violently at one point, snatching his camera from the tripod and thrusting it into her face or aiming it at her threateningly like a weapon. He later sits on the chair she had occupied, his camera on his knee, pointing towards her and his unfriendly, unsettling gaze fixed upon her. Or he will sit cross-legged on the floor, camera trained upon her. At another moment, he will offer her a glass of water to drink. At one point, Maxine throws down her jacket, and during one unsettling scene, the lights throb around her. On another occasion, she will reach out and take the hand of a person sitting in the front row. Sometimes the light shines onto her from behind, making her hair glow golden around her head. And sometimes the lighting will cast very long shadows of Maxine onto the floor, almost the length of the aisle. At one point, when she mentions the moon, a light will illuminate up above the level of the statue of John Rylance. Towards the end of the performance, Maxine retrieves her jacket. The filmmaker leaves, and Maxine walks away. We hear the recorded sound of singing as lights illuminate the stained glass window and the lofty vaulted ceiling. Festival volunteers will then guide and direct us as to the way out, and again we can choose whether to take the lift or to go down the steps in the modern part of the building.